And the
podcast
begins with a song of rebellion.
How can this
podcast
be my life?
CD Burners.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to CD Burners.
Holy fucking assholes.
Where we take deep dives into albums that we think are cool sometimes.
I forgot to mention this because we do two in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I forgot to mention it in the first one. You know, which I think will probably come out before this, and this is probably dated by of me saying this, but I thought it was really cool when we were in Vegas for When We Were Young. A lot of people came up to me and were like, hey, I really love the podcast.
A lot of Bernie bros?
Yeah, a lot of bros and gals came up and was like, I really love the podcast. I was like, well, then why does everybody online say mean stuff? And I was like, why don't you say something nice? And, but I just thought it was really cool. Cause I think of this as like, we do a lot during the week. And this is just like another, you know, this is just part of it. So I tend to forget that we do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people come up and they're like, recognize me from like the podcast, it catches me off guard because I feel like they would be like, oh, like emo night. It's more like they're like, oh, you do the podcast. I love the podcast.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. And everybody said really nice shit. And I thought meeting you guys was very cool. And I was like, I know I say some wild shit sometimes. And they're like, we like that. They're like, we like that. And so yeah. It just reinforced that I was like, all right, I like doing this. I'm happy that the wild shit that I say doesn't go unnoticed. That made me feel good.
Good. Love it. I like doing it too. I think it's really fun. Sometimes I'm like, it's a lot of work. I spend a lot of time. Like if I had to add up the hours I spend researching this stuff to just like get the good kernels, it's like 12 hours.
It's a lot
per album.
It really is a lot. And like, dude, you know me, I don't fucking like my sitting down and being like, here's a task and an assignment that I have to know. And
yeah, we have to do homework.
It's literally like homework. It feels like homework sometimes, but then I get into it. It's like with albums that I really like. Okay, I was telling you this earlier, but like with albums I really like doing it. With albums I really hate, I kind of like doing it too. And I get a lot of information out of that and it gives me another perspective. It's the albums that I feel like, I'm like, I don't. There's only been one and we haven't aired it, but there's only been one where I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to do this, but I really do like doing it. And it's almost more fun to do the ones that I don't like because it forces me to look at something in a different way. You know, like, what if you fucking don't like something, rarely do you go and be like, why don't I like this?
Yeah.
You're just like, I don't like this.
Like, and then you just turn it off or whatever.
Yeah.
But with this, you're like, okay, I have to figure it out.
And then, which might sway me being like, okay, all right, like I get it. And I think it's really helpful in general. Like I'm looking at this as like a way to broaden my
knowledge,
not just knowledge, my like acceptance of, you know, me not just being a dick about stuff.
Yeah.
It's mainly perspective. And I think that that's really cool.
Yeah.
To do that as a person in general. So I'm like looking at it not just as like a music thing, but growing as a person.
Love that. Today we're talking about Neck Deep, Life's Not Out to Get You. This is the second studio album from the Welsh band Neck Deep. It was released August 14th, 2015. It did pretty well. I'm always surprised at these like hopeless bands that were doing so well in like 2013, 2014, but there was definitely this boom of pop punk happening at that time because this album made it all the way to number 17 on the Billboard 200, number 3 on the alternative albums, number 1 on independent albums, number 3 on Top Rock, and number 1 on vinyl. So you remember we were doing the Wonder Years one? That one went like number 1 on vinyl too.
We grew up with these guys. Like Emo Night was like, you know, Emo Night started legitimately around the same time that these guys were starting to come over here.
Recorded December 2014. First emo night ever was December 2014. And then their shit, this album came out that summer. And yeah, like we kind of like hand in hand, like it was the same thing with Derek, with State Champs. Like they were, it kind of feels like we all like came up together because we did. Like we, they would come to our emo night parties. I actually like wrote a note in here, but I think it was for the piece in the panic. I remember when they had just finished recording the piece in the panic and then they came to emo night, they got champagne and they sprayed it all over the Echoplex green room. There was, it was just sticky everywhere.
Yeah, it's awesome. Dude, yeah. These guys, we have a long history with Neck Deep. We have a long, long, long history, very deep history with them. I will say that I don't know if that's why it sways me, but I love this album.
It's really good.
I love it.
Really good. And it is what they self-proclaim. They've called it this themselves, a generic pop punk. But I recently had a meeting with Tobin, the president of Hopeless Records. And he was like, you know, the kids nowadays, like they look at Neck Deep like we look at Newfound Glory. Like they're kind of, they've become like a veteran pop punk band.
I have that written in here. Like I have that. It's a strong statement. And Ben Barlow, who's the singer of Neck Deep, said something along the lines of them being thought of as a new band. You know, and this was, maybe the interview wasn't from recently. It was like maybe like 5-6 years ago. To me, in my mind, they are still a new band. Like to me, they're still like a young like band in this scene, and they're not. This album is 10 years old, a decade old.
Yeah.
And I think that is the sentiment of thinking that they're young still is so beneficial. It's like, and I don't know if it's because, you know, we kind of did the same thing, but I think it's a testament to the music that like, even though they're 10 years old and I'm listening to an album that's a decade old, I still look at them as a young band, and they're not. They're massive. Dude, they're a massive band, but that's a great feel. What a cool thing to like, imagine if I was like, yeah, you too, that like new band, you too, they're not. But to think that way.
But maybe we're just old and we've just known them for a long time.
I don't think that's the case, because like I look at some of the bands that are younger than them and I don't look at them as like a new band. There's something in my head that doesn't click as like they're new.
Like who?
I don't know, like Knuckle Puck or something.
Okay.
These guys, I'm like, dude, they're like, it feels new.
I think it's because when this came out, it was kind of defining that second or third or fourth. It was defining this new generation of pop punk. I think that that's why it still feels so new. It's because it was like the anchor of the new wave. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, who's doing it good now? Neck Deep. They're like the pillar band of this sort of next generation.
I legitimately think this is like the gold standard of pop punk. Like of, you know, whatever that 10 years ago and current, like I still think it's the pillar of like what good pop punk is. I think that you could put this on, you know, if you know, a pop punk album, like a Newfound Glory album, right? You put this on, that on for maybe some, you know, kids that are like 16, 17, and they might sound like this sounds old, or it doesn't sound like I get it. It's not, but it's not, doesn't this, I feel like really clicks to a lot of people, not just young, but old too, because you're like, oh, they listened to Blink, but they're doing it different. It sounds different. Sounds new. It sounds exciting and refreshing. And I always thought that pop punk is kind of a hard genre to master, because it's like, you have like four chords, you know, like you can say about a lot of stuff, but it's like in the style that you do it, it's hard to figure out this variation where things sound different or new or unique. And I think that this album set the standard for doing that. I really do. I think that this is in my head, like it's a 10 out of 10 album.
This album is fantastic. I mean, the title, Life's Not Out to Get You, I think, is perfect for this album. The themes of this record are like, you know, it's about growing up and you're going to have to go through some shit. And, you know, I watched that. Did you watch that interview with Ben and Phil? And they're sitting there and they're talking about like the album art. Because the album art is amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a guy named...
He's like a Spanish artist.
Ricardo Cavallo.
Yes. So Ricardo Cavallo made this awesome album art and he... Somehow it just like all synced up. He put in, you know, some imagery from the album and he hadn't even heard it yet. Like there's like the wine glass, there's the serpent. There's basically this one guy looking up at the mountaintops and where he wants to go. And then there's kind of this like winding, treacherous path of obstacles that he needs to get past in order to get there. The art is so perfect for this album and how it feels and like what it's about.
I think it was really cool that, you know, whether this was, you know, there's no way actually the artist could have known because he hadn't heard the album. And the fact that they're like, hey, we're a, you know, we are a pop punk band. This is the title of the album. I don't think that they gave him much more than that. He went and did this art, which accurately depicts like some very specific lyrics from the album without hearing it. To me, that's like a, whatever you would say, a sign from the universe that right place, right time, the right thing, like all of it felt very right.
Well, it was so closely aligned with Ben's vision and themes on the record that Ben and Cavallo actually worked together to create a comic book based on the artwork and the lyrics. And they made a whole story featuring that guy that he called
June. His name is Jude.
June.
His name is June?
I wrote June. I think June.
I wrote Jude.
But that's just from you not being able to understand Ben's accent.
You guys, so I don't understand, like, if you have an accent that is does not sound like me, I cannot understand you at all. It's like you're speaking a completely different language, regardless of if it's, like, English or not. And usually when we listen to these interviews on, you know, because we have to do a lot, like we were saying, we do a lot of research, hours and hours of research for each album. I listen to the interviews for the most part on, like, 2x speed to get through a lot of stuff. I had to listen to this at, like, slower speed. So this was extra amount of time.
Oi, mate.
So I put Jude, but who the fuck knows, you know?
I would love to see that comic book. I don't know.
I feel
like that'd be cool.
They made a comic out of this, and then I put find.
Find the comic?
And I didn't.
Maybe it's on eBay or something, or maybe we could get one from the Hopeless Office. But I would love to flip through one of those bad boys. Another cool thing about this album, another little tidbit, was that they... released a EP of this album that featured Serpents, Can't Kick Up the Roots, remixes of both of those songs by Mark Hoppus, and also had two new versions of December featuring Mark Hoppus and the full band on one, and then Chris Caraba on the acoustic version.
There's an interview with Ben. And he was, him and I have this in common, and it was like, have you ever been starstruck? And he was like, yeah, Mark Hoppus. And I was like, that. I remember that was the first time I ever felt starstruck. I never felt that feeling before. To know what that feels like and then to be like, oh, I'm going to have the guy that be on my songs, remix my songs, is a pretty damn big honor. And I listened to, you know, an interview with Mark and Ben when Mark was doing After School Radio. And it wasn't from this album, but, you know, Mark was like, hey, you know, dude, like your songs I listen to like every single morning when I wake up, like it's the first song I put on and I've been doing.
Mark said that?
Yeah.
To Ben?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's awesome. It's the coolest thing ever. Regardless of what you think about anything, just imagine like your inspiration and somebody that you looked up to is putting your art or whatever the fuck you do, you know, on first thing in the morning. Like, that's just a cool thing.
That's awesome.
It's a really cool thing.
I think it speaks volumes to just like how this album is so important to pop punk. Like, Mark Hoppus is like the godfather of pop punk. And if he's giving you that endorsement, that means it's probably pretty fucking good.
It wasn't about this album, but it was about a Neck Deep song,
right?
You know, but
band.
Just in general, just like in general, I think, look, there's like, I think there's a lot of very, very amazing things about this album. they are from like a, it is like every really good band from the UK, from like the shittiest town ever.
Of course. I mean, it's the same thing with pop punk bands here.
I don't know.
The only the only thing is that they have a song called Can't Kick Up the Roots, and it's about how much they love their shitty town. And I just think it's so funny because the song, because this whole album was produced and like co-written and worked on with the guys from A Day to Remember.
In
and
Florida.
Like, yeah, and like their album, their one of their biggest songs is like, I hate this town. And then there's another song on this album where it's like, I love our hometown.
It's really interesting. It's like a really interesting fact. And I wonder if this album, you know how when we talked to Chris and a couple like Connolly from Saves the Day and a couple other people where they like, you know, came to California to record. I wonder if this album sounds any different.
Dude, it has to, because, you know, the guys from A Day to Remember, so the guys who produced this, it was Jeremy McKinnon, the lead singer of A Day to Remember, Tom Denny, who was one of the founding members of A Day to Remember, but then he was just like so good at producing and didn't really like touring that he mostly just decided to focus on producing. He's like, he would always like help co-write and produce the A Day to Remember stuff.
That's bullshit. Shout out Tom Denny for doing that. That's cool. Be like, I just want to fucking... I'm not traveling.
Yeah. And then Andrew Wade. And like, there's no way, like those guys defined like Florida pop punk and easycore. And I think there's no way this album would sound the way that it does. I mean, you can listen to the first Neck Deep album that they did on their own back in Wales. And it doesn't sound like this.
But I wonder, what I'm saying is like, I wonder if like, you know how Chris was like, yeah, the songs
got brighter,
changed or drastic, you know, they changed in a way that, you know, I wonder what this album would have sounded like if they recorded it over there. Like, I wonder how much of it, because a lot of the interviews that they said, like, I listen to a lot of Ben because I had to, because I didn't understand a goddamn thing he's saying, is like, what I think he was saying was that they come to the studio, like, pretty set. We have the songs. We've got the songs. Like, there's not a lot of writing done in the studio. Like, so they come in and already have them done. And so I'm wondering if, like, they came in, had them done, influenced by Florida, changed a little bit. It would be really interesting to know how much they did that, knowing that they already come in very prepared.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, a lot of other bands go into the studio to write, you know? And so, like, your surroundings really influence, like, how the things what you put out sounds like. So these guys do it kind of the opposite. But, you know, and also, at least in my understanding, Ben always wanted to come to America. Like, he was like, that was like a big dream, was to like come to United States and like see the United States. You know, if that's like something that you wanted to do and that was like a goal you set for yourself, coming and making an album in the United States and a place where you want to, probably with guys that you really look up to. I wonder like how much different the album sounded from when they got into the studio.
Yeah. That would be interesting to hear some of their demos for sure. Jumping into some fast facts that Joni laid out for us here. Everybody had like their 9-to-5s. Ben was actually in university and then they all dropped out to make this record. This is actually the last album with the original lineup. So Lloyd Roberts left the band 9 days after the album was released due to claims of sexual misconduct, which were investigated by the police and then dropped. I don't know what Lloyd is up to. I tried to find his Twitter account. I did find his Twitter account. The last tweet that he posted was March 2020, where he was like, hey, any Neck Deep collectors out there? I'm going to like sell all this stuff that I have. And his Twitter bio is just retired.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Did we ever meet him? I don't remember.
I don't think we ever met Lloyd.
That guy.
No.
I don't think we ever met him, but.
Ben claims that this album is what their first album should have been. I think he knows that this album is, you know, the fan favorite from like the interviews that I heard.
He's
this is the one that everybody likes. This is like the one that people are the most attached to. This is like their legacy.
I really, 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 like I said, I really love this album, but I also really love a lot of the other Neck Deep. I think every album they've done has been very good in its own very specific way. Like this is not your favorite Neck Deep album.
No, I really love The Peace and the Panic. I think that one's my favorite.
And look, when I was doing K-Rock and shit, when I was like doing radio and playing songs, they were putting out new shit And I was playing it all the time. There's a song called Shut the Fuck Up. And I loved that song. And that's like a newer, it's one of their newer songs. And so I think that they have progressively gotten better, but it's really, you know, which I think is, like I said in the beginning, like hard in pop punk. Hard, like it's hard. But I think it's really to be self-aware, being like, yeah, dude, like this was like our, the album that everybody knows is, you know, it's reasonable. It's not like a fucking crazy thing being like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, my, some of my favorite shit is the new stuff, but you know, I'm attached to that because it's brand new and I'm listening to it right now and writing it right now. And that's what I'm going through right now. But I think it's really important to be self-aware. And I think these guys are self-aware of how much this album in particular means to so many people.
Well, Hopeless Records did a bang up job on this album. And this episode is actually sponsored by Hopeless Records.
Shout out, Tobin.
Fun fact, Hopeless Records is celebrating their 30th anniversary this year. We'll actually have a booth at our 10-year anniversary at Emo Night Day, and Hopeless artist Tiger's Jaw are performing.
One of my top favorite bands ever in the entire world.
Over the years, Hopeless has been home to so many iconic bands in the scene like Circus Survive, Silverstein, Bayside, Newfound Glory, and so many more. And they also have a ton of newer artists on their roster that have been pumping out some great shit like Stand Atlantic, Point North, Scene Queen. Neck Deep even put out their new self-titled this year on Hopeless. And like you said, it's so good. I'm so excited to hear the Neck Deep songs live when they tour next year. Anyway, all their socials are at Hopeless Records. Give them a follow, TikTok, Instagram, X, all the things, and stay up to date with the latest releases from Hopeless Records, one of the most consistent labels in the scene. Who knows? You might find your new favorite band.
I didn't know we were doing that. It's really funny. Did you write that, or is that copy that they sent?
It's just in our notes. So either Meredith wrote it or Hopeless wrote it.
That's really funny. That's the part of the episode where like I'm listening to something and I go 15 seconds, and then I fucking go back to it, and then I have to like skim back to where they start the episode again. Yeah. But honestly, the shout out Hopeless is like on it. They are pioneers in a lot of stuff, and I think that they're a fantastic label. They've put out some of my favorite albums in the entire world.
They were really, really doing a bang up job in 20. I mean, dude, I remember like the first fucking, we'd thrown like two emo nights or three. Eric Tobin invites us over to his house for dinner. Like, they just care about the scene.
There's a really great, one of my favorite pictures of you and I
sitting on the couch with the white cat. I saw it today. We have a skylight frame in the house that just like cycles through digital photos.
We should send that to Cam and have him put it up. That's like actually one of the, that's one of my, like my favorite pictures.
We're sitting on Tobin's couch and there's a giant portrait of a white cat behind us. We're so young, precocious, and full of wonderment.
The other thing about Neck Deep is they're like pretty hot guys.
They are very handsome men.
Now, I think that that also probably, I don't know what it was like in the UK. You know, I don't know what the fuck people like over there. I don't know if that matters if you're like a hot guy in a band. And normally, like, you can be hot guys in bands and it doesn't matter if the music sucks, but I think it only amplifies that to another audience if the music is also good.
Do you think that they are less hot over there because they have the same accent as everybody else? Like, do you think they're hotter here because of their accents? I think so.
Yeah, probably. Obviously. It's like not something you see every day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like my ex-girlfriend legitimately only liked
British guys.
Yeah. Like, she only liked British guys. She gave one of these guys an OTPHJ.
Standout tracks on this album, Morgan. What do you got?
I literally think all of them are. I can't. It's one of those albums that, like, it's depending on, like, what mood I'm in.
Yeah.
Is which one, like, one is my favorite that day.
Sure.
It's rare when I have that with an album. And this one, I couldn't pick a favorite song. I really couldn't. I could not pick a favorite song off of this album. I really think they are all fucking awesome. I don't mean to, it's not a cop out. there's like a true reasoning, because I would feel like if
I thought for sure you were going to say December, because I know you love that song.
Yeah, but I like all of the songs.
I like Can't Kick Up the Roots. I just think that it's funny that it is the pop punk song that's like, I love this town, whereas most pop punk songs are, I hate this town. I like Kali Ma because Jeremy McKinnon has guest vocals on that track, and I think he sounds great. And it's just kind of like, oh shit, I know who that is. That's the guy from A Day to Remember. You know, it's like, it's a good cameo, and it's cool. Serpents is good. And then of course, December.
I mean, you literally just named almost all of them. So that's the thing. It's like, I can tell you the chorus that I sing the most out of this one.
Which is
the
one?
I've been wasting away. Yeah.
We're doing a lot of singing on these two episodes.
Good. I like that. And also about December, it's not just that it was like an acoustic song on an album. It's also like a beautiful, well-written song in general. I think if you put that up against like any song that is not in the genre, in like the pop general audience, the GA of the world, I think that it's an incredibly translatable song. They wrote it. It's cool because I like why they wrote it. And I feel this way about a lot of stuff. It was one of the dudes of the band said, I woke up in the middle of the night and I took a picture of, I don't know, it said like the snow or a house or some bullshit. And the door opened a little bit and the light came through in the house. And he said, I just want to write a song that feels like this. I want to write a song that captures this. And what's interesting is that I have a photo album in my phone that I can't describe why I like the pictures, because they're just regular pictures, like incredibly regular pictures. But there's something about them that stands out to me in a way that I think that this stood out to, I forgot who it was in the band that wanted to write the song, that person. I wonder if I can pull one up, because I think you'll be like, dude, that's the most regular picture I've ever seen.
It's
in
just
my
the
life.
Picture of us on the couch with the cat.
No, it's this picture. It's really, I save this in a specific, like folder on my phone. And it's like, I don't know why it's like when it's just literally like scrolling. And I'm like, there's something about that that sticks out to me. And I reference these pictures all the time. And I really don't know. This is one. There's two that I have that are like very, like this picture, regular picture of ducks, like just regular.
Sure.
There's one that I really, really, really like that I look at all the time. And I go, this was literally just taken with like a camera phone. I don't know why this is sticking out to me. Like this picture. Like
they've got a vibe to it though. It's a good vibe. I mean, the sky is like gloomy.
It's just a picture. Somebody took a picture of like their car and they're like, this is like, oh, my baby, my car or some shit like that. And I was like, this stands out to me more than other things. And
interesting.
Yeah. It's really what's the thing where you like see music? Synesthesia. Yeah. I wonder what that is when you see a picture and you're like, I hear that picture.
What else do you have to say about this album? I don't know if I have too much else to say. Joni wrote a shit ton of stuff.
What the hell did she write?
She wrote...
Joni, shout out Joni, because she did say something actually pretty interesting about this album. She was like, I generally don't like music that makes me feel good. Like, she's like, I usually go towards music that makes me want to kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this album, she was like, this is like, it's a positive album. And I also think that that's really hard to do with music. I think when people are putting out music, it's usually to, you know, I think it probably tends, at least in, you know, this genre, not like bubblegum pop. Like, I think that you're tending to put out an emotion that is not necessarily happy. And I think that these guys managed to do it in an incredibly successful way, which I think is a difficult task.
I agree with you. Yeah, it's hard. I don't think I've ever written a happy song in my life.
You know what I mean? Think about it. Think about like trying to write, like it doesn't make, it's hard.
Yeah.
I also, they're the, you know, and they have new guys in the band now. And I think it's really cool that Ben's brother is like their producer now.
Seb.
Yeah. I think that that's like a cool thing. He said it was always like the elephant in the room, like why he wasn't in the band. And he's just like such a, guess like such a great producer.
I think he also was like in bands and he didn't like being on the road and yeah. stuff, which is fair.
I also, the other thing I guess I could say about them is that they all are like very good. You know, they all have like a very specific thing that they bring to the band that makes it feel really cohesive. Like each one of them has their own very specific, you know, it's like, I guess when you look at like One Direction or whatever, I don't know, or like whatever.
Well, I mean, we talked about this with Derek when they were like,
yeah, very much the same. Yeah. Aesthetic. Very much the same. Yeah, yeah. Really a lot of the same, but like not in, in that exterior,
okay.
but more of like in the inner workings of the band, like accounting, art, production and sound, like those things, like they all bring something very, like a unique talent to the band that makes it work. And I think that that's fucking very cool.
Looking at the timeline of the members. So Ben and Matt West have been in it forever. And then Sam joined right when Lloyd left and he's been in it since then. So it's like three main bros. I love Neck Deep. It's been so fun watching them grow up and, you know, being even a little bit of a part of it. I remember we did like that thing at Urban Outfitters for the Peace in the Panic with them.
You know what I remember is going to the AP Awards.
Oh, yeah. What a time. What a life we've lived.
Yeah, that rocked. I really like that.
All right. If you like this, you might like that.
No pressure.
No pressure. All right. No pressure is great. Guys, if you don't know what No Pressure is, that's Parker Cannon from The Story So Far. He has another side project that's like way more pop punk and like so much more energy driving like skate punk than...
Literally, I think it's like some of the best songs I've ever
heard. So
I wish that that guy did not hate us, our guts, or hated like everything.
Yeah, he just hates everything and it's just too cool for everybody.
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay. Sometimes people, artists have to do that. They have to be fucking, you know... Mm-hmm. In order to like get their art out, I can still look at it in a way that I like. In that way, I will separate the art from the artist. Normally, I don't.
The fart from the fartist.
Or wait, normally I do.
Microwave, much love. That's what Joni says. She says, "This I don't see similarities in every song on the album because it has a much more melancholy indie feel. But songs like Drown definitely have the same guitar production and drums to them. There's a lot of guitar layering going on this album, which is fun. You know, I feel like they quadruple every rhythm guitar and they like pan them. It's really big sounding.
Well, I guess we're just going to have to talk to Sebby and see how he does it.
Also, obviously, if you like Neck Deep, you probably also already like State Champs.
Yeah.
And that's a given.
Yeah. They're
like the same. Yeah,
they're the bros.
Yeah. They're the bros.
It's awesome. What a cool little fucking, what a cool little scene that we kind of, you know, at the time didn't think to look back and be like, oh, we're just babies growing up doing this thing. Like maybe doing something.
I like that they have a song called Threat Level Midnight on this album because I know how big of a The Office fan Phil is. I remember when Phil hosted like a Office trivia night. That was fun. All right. Okay. That's it for this album. Look at Timmy.
I know. I gave him a bath today. I used Old Spice, like not dog wash. I think dog
That's
wash.
That's not good.
Dude, I don't think it matters. I think it's one of those bullshit like marketing techniques that they're like, we're going to charge you like $20 extra and say that for it's like good
shampoo?
For dogs. Yeah. I'm sure it's the same fucking thing.
I don't know, man.
It smells better. Than the fucking Aesop dog wash. That
oh
I
yeah,
got
you
him.
Buy Aesop dog wash?
Yeah,
him?
Dude, I got him like that. Get him like the best.
You gotta just
shit.
Get the Dawn. That's what they use to clean the oil off the seals. Hit him with some Dawn.
The dishwashing syrup?
Yeah, that's what they do. Like when there's an oil spill, they pour that shit on
dude,
the ducks.
How could the dishwashing soap be any better than fucking?
Look, if it's good enough for the seals and the ducks and the oil spills, it's good enough for Timmy.
Well, he's not covered in oil. Like,
I always used to use Dawn on Whitey.
Well, I mean, She's very much seal like.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Thank you guys for listening to CD Burners. We'll see you very soon.
We'll see you very soon, assholes.
CD's nuts.